Hey, this is Nick Tropiano with the Anaheim Angels, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Forum Studios, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. We've got to talk Major League Baseball. Still a little bit of a lull as far as free agency goes, but get used to it. That's the new strategy in baseball. Wait, wait, and wait. That's the way front offices are going to play this for the foreseeable future. We'll maybe dibble on that in just a bit, but I do want to talk about the latest Hall of Fame voting. And joining us right now over the phone to help us discuss this, we have Steve Bordsteed. He's the host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. Great friend of mine, great friend of the show. And Steve, it's a pleasure to get you back on today.
Happy to spend some time with you. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. End of the week, and you know we're getting closer and closer to pitchers and catchers reporting.
Thank goodness. I mean, once this game next week, this super thing they got going on next week, I know that's a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's more an invitation to just get ready for pitchers and catchers reporting, spring training around the corner. You mentioned, of course, the hot stove being a little bit warm right now. Maybe it warms up here the next couple of days. Maybe after the Super Bowl is over, we'll see. But it's a good time right now for baseball to get warming up.
It definitely is. And recently, earlier this week, we heard the announcement of the 2019 Hall of Fame selection. Now, before we talk about that, I do want to throw out there that finally, the unanimous decision is over with. The debate is over. And you can argue that it was stupid to begin with, but it was a relevant conversation year in and year out in the world of baseball, okay? To me, it's amazing that Babe Ruth and Willie Mays, they were not unanimous selections. It's amazing to me that Joe DiMaggio needed four ballots to get into the Hall of Fame. Yet that all seemed like a footnote to the fact that recently we had individuals that people didn't vote for. And I know any time that you send out 400 ballots to writers, there's going to be outliers. There's going to be people out there that just want to screw the system. They want to stick it to the man just to do it. And I think that's where we were at in baseball as far as the Hall of Fame goes, Steve.
And how ironic is it that the guy who does get the unanimous selection, and this is by no means an affront to Mariano Rivera, but it's a guy who pitches one inning a game.
Right.
It's a guy who you barely get to see, you know, during the course of a nine-inning baseball game. And again, this is no offense to Mariano Rivera, but my argument with him being the first player to get in unanimously is that it seems to me, to your point a moment ago, that you have to have a certain criteria, not just brilliance on the field over an elongated period of time, but you have to be a reporter's best friend. You have to be the nice guy to everyone. You have to be the non-stickler in the room. So by that rationale, then, Ken Griffey Jr., I have to assume, ticked off three people out of the 440 that voted and three didn't, who didn't vote for him. I have to assume, then, that five people in 1992 didn't vote for Tom Seaver because at some point Tom Seaver must have ticked somebody off. I have to assume that six people did not get along with Nolan Ryan of the 497 that voted in the Hall of Fame in 1999. Six people just didn't like him. But here's where it gets even more bizarre. Cal Ripken Jr., like, what did he do to tick somebody off? Because he's the guy who broke the record that was considered untouchable for decades in Lou Gehrig's consecutive game streak. But let's go even further down the list. You mentioned Babe Ruth, 95.13%. Okay, maybe he was, maybe he ticked off a few people. Honus Wagner ticked off 11 people, arguably still one of the most popular players in the history of baseball. Willie Mays didn't get 95% when he was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1979. Carl Yastrzemski, apparently 24 people didn't like him. I mean, we're looking at names like Tony Gwynn. We're looking at names like Hank Aaron, arguably the greatest home run hitter, not named Barry Bonds, in the history of the sport. I get Ty Cobb a little bit, but the ironic part about Ty Cobb is that he's in that 98 percentile. As much of a bad guy as he has that reputation of being, only four people thought, yeah, we're not going to vote for that guy. 222 others did. So if that's the rationale, then just tell me that's the rationale. Tell me that's the reason why. At least if you're going to be that outlier, tell me that's the reason that you didn't vote for, was because you got your feelings hurt, or maybe he dropped you for an interview or didn't show up for a press conference or something. Because then at least I know that you are as you are not allowed to be a credible reporter if that was the reason why you didn't vote for Ken Griffey Jr., Tom Seaver, Nolan Ryan, Cal Ripken, George Brett, Hank Aaron, et cetera, et cetera. Greg Maddux didn't get 16 votes.
No, Greg Maddux got, I believe he got like 500 and something. He had the most votes, 555, I think was the number. Most votes anyone's ever received to get into Cooperstown, but he didn't get the unanimous selection. And some of the other names on this list, it's kind of mind-boggling to me. Look, Chipper Jones. 12 people did not vote for Chipper Jones. 12 people said no
didn't vote
thanks.
For Chipper Jones. 20 people didn't vote for Ted Williams. I have to assume it's because, oh, God forbid, he didn't tip his hat. Are you kidding me? I mean, really, is that what the Hall of Fame is about? And we can get into Roy Halladay and Edgar Martinez and guys like that. We can get into that also. And I don't want to besmirch their careers. They obviously had tremendous careers. But it's ironic that it's a guy who pitches one inning a game. It's ironic that it's a guy who never had, presumably, a bad word to say about anybody, that's the guy who gets the unanimous selection. I'm happy that it's over. I'm just surprised that it was him.
Well, when I look at it, Steve, to me, it kind of goes back to the Heisman voting, and I know several Heisman voters, and they refuse to vote. They refused for a very long time to vote for a freshman quarterback. Refused. They have refused in the past to vote for a defensive player that is not involved in returning punts on special teams. There's certain criteria that these voters, these writers, they refuse to vote for certain players. And to me, it's asinine. I don't understand it. But I believe that some of that logic applies to the Hall of Fame vote in baseball as well. And when I'm taking a look at Mariano Rivera, it may be a very simplistic way of looking at it. I don't think it hurt that in an era that is just marred with steroids, marred with controversy all the way around, I don't think it hurt that it was a good guy playing for the New York Yankees. I don't think that hurt his chances, Steve.
No, it doesn't. But it does lend the question. Okay, good guys, New York Yankees. We're going to have this conversation exactly 1 year from now when Derek Jeter doesn't get a unanimous selection.
He will.
Because you know it's coming.
He will. He'll get 100% of the vote.
No, he won't.
You don't think so?
Because he had a reputation of being a playboy, and someone is going to be irritated by that. Someone ticked him off. Some smarmy reporter with some crappy newspaper in New York City, he didn't get an interview with him, and therefore, he's still got a vote, and he's not going to vote for him. He's going to come up one short. Someone's going to do it next year. I guarantee it, and it's going to be hilarious, because that guy, if it was going to be any Yankee, wouldn't it be him? I mean, wouldn't it? I mean, arguably the greatest Yankee of that generation.
Well, him. I see where you're coming from. The reason I say we're going to wait to see 100% a lot more now. Once that barrier's broken, then you see it more and more often, right? Again, it's like the freshmen getting votes for the Heisman.
Baker Mayfield, right. Tyler Murray, you see that. I'd love to see the defensive player. I would argue that there's been several in the Heisman voting that don't get it. You can make the same case for NFL MVP.
Sure,
I mean, you can make the case Aaron Donald should be in that conversation. You can make that case, I think. And you're never going to get, there's not going to be a serious push for Aaron Donald for net most valuable player in the National Football League. You're never going to see that with a 7-foot-tall center right now in the NBA, unless your name is LeBron James or James Harden. You're never going to see that. There are certain parameters that need to be broken. I'm glad that Mariano Rivera finally got it broken. I hope it continues because, again, it should have been broken years ago in the Hall of Fame balloting.
Okay, let's talk about some of the others that got in. You and I were going over it. Roy Halladay. Here's the problem I have with Roy Halladay. Through 2019, 131 players have been elected by the BBWAA to get in. Should Roy Halladay be one of those 131 players?
I'm not trying to paint the role here of a bad guy here, but I'm going to. This is a guy who spent 1 year in Major League Baseball when he was 4-7 with the Toronto Blue Jays and had an ERA of 10.6. And you're telling me that everything was just rosy after that. I get it. You know, a couple of no-hitters, a couple of perfect games. That's great. Are we not buying into a little sympathy factor with Roy Halladay? He had 203 wins, 105 career losses. Again, two perfect games. That's great. I get it. Are we not playing into a sympathy factor with Roy Halladay? Which, okay, that's cool. You know, we had the sympathy factor when we broke the rules a little bit in Major League Baseball, in the Baseball Hall of Fame, with Roberto Clemente. Roberto Clemente had 3,000 hits.
Well, different story. There's a different story there with Roberto Clemente. Now, I see where you're going with this, and I think, yeah, maybe we do tap into it a little bit, but I also believe it has to do with the fact that there's so much controversy. There was never any controversy around Roy Halladay. I don't know, Steve, if he's a Hall of Famer, and I've always had this mindset. If you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer. I don't care if it's first ballot. I don't buy into the first ballot. Is he a first ballot Hall of Famer? Is he a second ballot? That doesn't matter to me. If you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer, and typically those who get in on the first ballot, they stood out among the rest, and I just don't know that Roy Halladay did that for me. I really don't. I think he went to, what, 8 All-Star games? I know he's got 2 Cy Youngs, one in each league, one in the National League with the Phillies, one with the Blue Jays, if I'm not mistaken, correct? So, I mean, looking at it, it's close. It's 85%? Well, that's
it,
a little high.
Yeah, the perfect games, I get it, but the first 5 years of his career was spent with an ERA that, you know, I mean, in the first 5 years of his career, until he had the 19-7 season back in 2002, this was a guy whose ERA was hovering around 6. I mean, and again, he had a great second half of his career. He turned it around. He had 220, we had 320 win seasons, one season with 19 with Philadelphia, World Series champion. That's great. I'm not gonna try and badmouth the guy, but I am gonna say that it does seem a little bit ironic here that In a year in which we're mourning his loss and everything like that, that was a guy who was a little bit on the fringe to me getting into the Hall of Fame.
More so than Edgar Martinez?
I don't have a problem with Edgar Martinez simply because I think the pool has been a little bit diluted now, right? I mean, Edgar Martinez was on the list for, I believe this was his last year or third to last year as far as voting was concerned. He was going to get in because at some point in time, the Veterans Committee was going to put him in or someone was going to put him in. But I do fight back on the idea that the Hall of Fame can also be asterisked as the Hall of the Really Good, because mm-hmm. it shouldn't be. Unless you just want to make it a museum, then make it a museum and don't worry about the parameters. Just change the parameters and tell me you're going to change the parameters, because it shouldn't be the Hall of the Really, Really Good. The Hall of Fame is supposed to be hard to achieve. In the history of Major League Baseball, 2% of every player that has ever played baseball is in the Hall of Fame. 2%. Think of every game you've ever watched. Think of every game you've ever read about. Think of every game you've ever heard about. 2% of the players that have ever donned a Major League uniform are in the Hall of Fame. And I would argue that there's, of that 2%, I would argue there's about 20% that don't belong.
It's a fair argument. It's a fair argument. Like I said, I believe we have 131. Is that correct? Is that the right number?
Yes.
131 that are in. I think when you take a look,
there's 20 at least. I could make a case and go, maybe not.
Let me throw a guy out there whose numbers jumped. And, Steve, I don't want to make this about political talk, but I'm going to throw it out there because you were talking about good guys that are media-friendly getting the votes, and that's why Mariano Rivera got 100%. Let me throw another name out there to you. If you put Roy Halladay in, you have to put Curt Schilling in. I think you have to.
I think there's this idea that the minute you speak on politics, regardless of what side of the aisle you happen to represent, you're done. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the parameter that's being set now. Curt Schilling, the tweets, Curt Schilling, the radio appearances, Curt Schilling, the political voice of a voiceless group, whatever the hell you want to call it, Curt Schilling hurts himself every time he logs on to Twitter. He hurts his chances. And, you know, there is one side of the fence that says, oh, well, it's a conspiracy by the left wing. And then there's another side of it that says, Curt Schilling, shut your mouth because you're hurting yourself. And both sides are completely correct. There is a problem because, again, if he's not the nicest guy in the world, we're not going to vote for him. But if he is the nicest guy in the world, does he have the numbers? Yes, He has the numbers. Yes, he belongs, but he hurts himself every time he speaks. He hurts himself every time he tweets out a conspiracy theory or some far right-wing conspiracy nut job theory, if you want to call it that. Whatever your side of the aisle is, everything he does hurts his chances, whether you believe it's a conspiracy or whether you believe it is just him hurting himself.
Steve Bordstein, he's the host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. Steve, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Every weekday morning, 7 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Fox, AM 1340, 93.9 FM. The show is also available on the iHeartRadio app, downloadable to your smartphone or wireless device. It's called First Sports every weekday morning, and it's available through our website at foxsports1340.com. Jordan is a regular guest on the show. We'll be talking, I'm sure, next week, doing a little Super Bowl preview for his favorite L.A. Rams. We'll also be covering a lot of Super Bowl stuff throughout the week next week, and certainly, as we get closer to baseball season, Jordan and I will be talking a lot more frequently about that as well. And I also host a horse racing show called The Fast Track, presented by Sunray Park and Casino. That airs weekend mornings, 8 a.m. Mountain Time, 10 a.m. Eastern, also available on the iHeartRadio app. You can also feel free to follow me on Twitter at Fox 1340 AM.
Steve, it's always a pleasure to get you on. Great insight as always. We'll do it again soon.
Looking forward to it, my friend.
We got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.